We Talk Podcast presents...
How to wrestle with an alligator. That's right. I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail. That's bad. Only last week, I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick.
Bad dude.
Bad. Fast. Last night, I cut the light off in my bedroom, hit the switch, was in the bed before the room was dark.
Incredible.
Fast.
Incredible.
And you, George Fullman, all of you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him. All of you. I know you got him. I know you got him picked. But the man's in trouble. I'm going to show you how great I am.
What it is, what it do. Welcome to the One Fall Podcast, where we float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, and I'm so pretty. Rumble, young man, rumble. With the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Your host, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, and the captain of charisma, ladies
crown
and gentlemen.
Prince.
The crown prince of charisma, Mo.
I'm not Christian.
No, you're not. But today we're here to talk about not only one of the greatest combat athletes, not only one of the if not the greatest athlete, maybe something we'll get to a little bit later, one of the greatest icons in the history of humankind, and that is Muhammad Ali, sadly passing away.
Okay, Muhammad Ali is somebody that is absolutely beyond a sports figure. That's really what's significant about him. There's no athlete who made as big an impact on the world through sports.
I disagree with that later.
Didn't let me finish.
I know.
Let me finish. There's no athlete that made as big an impact on sport in other areas, using sport as the platform. Then perhaps I could think of Jesse Owens would be the only one I would think of that I would consider to be at an equivalent level, and history hasn't been as his popularity has waned, unfortunately. So his impact is he's more than a sports figure. As a sports mm-hmm. figure, he was a great boxer. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's the greatest heavyweight, nevertheless the greatest boxer, but he was a terrific mm-hmm. boxer. Mm-hmm. His impact, though, goes far beyond actual sports.
And absolutely.
And that's what's significant. I would say to this day, I still believe, when I look at the most famous people in the world, Barack Obama is obviously up there. Make no doubt about it. Hulk Hogan is up there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's different musicians. There's different athletes through the years. Pele would have been among the most famous athletes of all time. Maradona, you know, some of this is different people that work in European football or soccer, as we call it here. You know, there's a lot of very famous individuals. But I'd say Michael Jordan, Mike Tyson, Tiger Woods, all of them, I think, pale compared to actual fame compared to Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, see, this is a debate I've been having, and I'd like to maybe, I guess since we're kind of on that now, we'll get to the greatness of Ali. It's ESPN just recently released the most famous athletes currently. Ronaldo took the top spot. You can understand how popular soccer was, yes. Football, whatever you want to call it. So the debate when Ali passed away was he the most famous athlete of the 20th, 21st century, whatever you want to have? And at first, you know, talking to a few friends, and I'd like to get your thought on this, Mo, and I had talked to Joel about this priorly, is the first everyone was like, yes. And I think as far as civil rights go and all that and inspiration, for sure. But as far as long-lasting and a brand, I think Jordan is superior to him in that way.
No, I don't think so, because Jordan doesn't stand for anything ultimately.
Here's the thing. You have kids that will know what the number 20 – you see the number 23, and kids all over the world know that the number 23 is representative of Michael Jordan. They may not know him just because of the basketball player. They'll know him because of the shoes. They'll know him because of the Jumpman logo. Those things transcend anything right now in the world for this current culture right now. The crying Jordan meme even.
Okay, if 25 years from now, Michael Jordan's fame is equivalent to what Muhammad Ali's fame is now, we'll see.
I think it's always been bigger.
No.
If they both died on the same day and it's on ESPN, Jordan gets top billing over Ali.
No, I don't think so. Jordan might no, because Jordan isn't as significant a figure. He was just a great basketball player who was marketed extremely well.
That's my point.
And he wasn't marketed extremely well. When the time came for him to stand for something and that people asked him to, he didn't.
But here's the thing too with Jordan, for example. You don't have kids now that want to be boxers saying, I want to box like Muhammad Ali, or I want to box like Mike Tyson. You have kids now saying, I want to fight like Conor McGregor, or I want to fight like a Ronda Rousey, or I want to box maybe like a Floyd Mayweather or a Pacquiao. You still have kids today and growing up that want to be like Mike. That saying that's going on. I agree with you as far as the civil rights and all that stuff. Ali is there and he has it. But as far as the globalization of Michael Jordan, it's the biggest, one of the biggest top five logos in the world, along with Apple and McDonald's, that Air Jordan symbol. It's globalized, that how important that symbol is globally. It's up there with the Nike swoosh.
And the difference is, here's the difference. When you're talking about everything, what you're talking about are Western civilizations largely. You're talking about countries with a significant economic point of view. That logo doesn't make the same impact in places without
those. I'm glad you brought that up. Muhammad Ali does.
Muhammad Ali's legend is taught in schools. Michael Jordan's is.
I'm glad you bring that up because I was at a wedding this week when I had people from Russia, from Spain, from Africa, from England. Some of their kids had no idea who Muhammad Ali is.
Those are all significant economic powers.
Well, that's great, but again, some of them didn't even know who Muhammad Ali was. Their kids didn't know who Muhammad Ali was, but their kids knew who Michael Jordan was.
That comes from the Western culture. Like what?
Yes,
it doesn't matter what culture it is. It's what who's more famous. When you say who's more famous, it's who is more known. And Michael Jordan is more known, is what the point of what I'm saying is.
No, he is not. He is not as known as Muhammad Ali, because Muhammad Ali is known in the places where media hasn't penetrated, whereas Michael Jordan is not.
You can go to African villages and they will know who Michael Jordan is.
They know who Muhammad Ali is.
They may know too, but
they
you
don't
already
know
have
who
the
Michael
other
Jordan
corners
is.
Who
no,
Jordan
they
is.
Don't. No, yes, they don't dude. Know. No, they don't know. They know that logo. I will agree. They might know the logo. They'd recognize the logo. They have no idea who he is.
I've watched National Geographic documentaries, and sure, they will know who Muhammad Ali is because of everything he's done for the civil rights. I'll give you that. But you watch some of these documentaries in National Geographic, and they'll say, I want to be like Mike. The marketing campaign is more than just that. It's a thing. It's a feeling of being
sure,
like
and they
Mike
know,
and what
and
it
they
is.
And they know Coca-Cola, too, but they don't know who runs it.
No, that's the difference, though, because also of what Jordan did as a player that you've never seen topped at. I will agree. Like I feel like I'm fighting against Ali and everything he meant, and I don't mean to
disagree. No, you're not. We're just talking about fame. This is the discussion.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
When it comes to everything he meant, then I'll probably be the one who will be fighting against it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a more complex issue than is presented, but in the media, where hero worship and icon worship is generally what occurs when somebody passes away, and with Ali, it's been occurring since before that, and understandably so. But the legend is greater than the man. That's exactly it. The legend is, but again, Michael Jordan's insanely famous. Don't get me wrong, but he's not more famous than Ali, and I don't believe he's more famous than Pele was at his height.
You don't think You think Pele's over Jordan?
At his height, yeah. I believe at his height, yes.
No.
And Ali at his height, yes. And to say that Jordan, who came about in a different generation, is more known to this generation, that may be the case. But right now, that may be the case. But how famous Michael Jordan was at his most famous is not the equivalent of how famous Muhammad Ali was at his most famous, or Pele.
I can understand the Ali one. I can't agree with the Pele one. And I get what the game of soccer is. I do. But there's no chance in hell that he was ever as successful, exceeded level than Jordan.
Are you kidding me?
No chance in hell.
He is the most famous and greatest soccer player of all time.
100%. 100% he is. But he's not more famous than Michael Jordan.
No, not now. But
not ever.
At his height?
His height is not greater than Michael Jordan, ever.
Trust me, I'm a little older than you. You don't trust me. You don't understand how big he was.
I understand how big he was. I had this conversation with my grandfather as well and talked about it. Talked about all the greats from all these sports. Yeah,
I'm not as old as your grandfather, just close.
And but, I'm very evenly split on it. I'm just trying to make an argument for Jordan on that one. You're probably right on the Ali one. I'm just trying to make the sense for Jordan. But there's no chance at the pinnacle of the two of them. I get where Pele is as far as soccer being a bigger globalized game, but arguably basketball is probably the second most globalized game in the world. It's between that and baseball, but there's never been a baseball player that's ever succeeded any level. And Jordan succeeds every type of level.
Okay. All right. Well, let's put this one aside. We'll agree to disagree.
For sure.
That was fun to sit there. Like, if I can throw my two cents in there, because was like, you guys were going, and I was like, I'm not going to interfere, and this is going back and forth, and there's no point to me jumping in there. But I have to side with Mo. Just seeing videos from when Ali was at his height.
I'm not debating the Ali one as much as the Pele one.
See, the Pele one I don't know as well. I know who Michael Jordan is, but I can see someone that is a big soccer star like Pele. I don't know him as well, so I can't really say a whole lot. But I could see his fame being big and being very big because of how big soccer is. Soccer was all I played in elementary school, and that's because all the kids wanted to play soccer. And they knew who all the big soccer players were. So there weren't, even when I was in elementary, which admittedly was at the tail end of Jordan being a star.
My argument with that is that Jordan's not just a famous basketball player. Jordan's just a famous person in general.
Oh yeah, I think Jordan's a very famous person, and I think that on the flip side with the Pele argument, I can see that. But I think soccer's almost like church over.
100% it is. I'm from England. I know how big soccer is.
I just. Michael Jordan.
But I can even tell you, like, at his pinnacle, even, like, Beckham at his pinnacle was probably bigger than a Kobe, but Kobe definitely rivaled him during that time in England.
I don't know.
Kobe was insanely famous. Shaq was insanely famous. Absolutely. These people were. Beckham was insanely famous. Pele was more famous than all of them.
Like I said, he's more famous than them. I don't know about the Jordan to him.
The difference is, like, what do you think is the, if you took a worldwide basis, Michael Jordan at his most, in his most watched game, how many people do you think saw it? And how many people do you think saw Pele in his most watched?
I think it's different because of what the two sports are. And I think Jordan supersedes whatever the game of basketball is with endorsements, Space Jam, the shoes, all that. Sure. It supersedes what the game of basketball is.
It still reaches largely the Western culture.
For sure, right?
Pele, like, again, 200 countries playing soccer. And people that never had seen him on TV, much the same way, they knew who he was. The kids played him, wanted to be him, when kicking around a ball in their bare feet with no money. And, like, you have to understand, 1970, like, where he was.
For sure.
He was insanely famous.
For sure.
So, again, Muhammad Ali, him, like, those are the three for me that I think would be the most famous. I mean, there's a few others out there that you would put on the list. Carl Lewis would have to be up there.
Yeah.
You know, he was insanely famous. You know,
Jesse Owens, like you were saying.
Yeah, Jesse Owens. Jesse Owens, as far as a cultural impact, it's unfortunate that his legend hasn't been kept as alive as it probably should be.
I'd probably have to put the Bear in there as well. Jack Pardon Nicholson. Me? I probably put Jack Nicholson on there. I think
Jack Nicholson was huge. Yeah, absolutely huge.
Nicholas, sorry, Jack Nicholas. But Nicholas, I think, and same with Arnold Palmer. I just think, and Joel wouldn't know as much about this. It's just how big they were as golfers at the time. But to a generation now, it's almost been a little bit lost. Unfortunately,
And it's the same thing. It's much like people don't understand how big, you know, John McEnroe was, and you know, Ivan Lendl and these guys, like they were huge, and it's kind of lost.
Even
its popularity.
The female tennis player that crossed over,
Martina Navratilova, Chris Evert.
Billie Jean, Billie Jean King. Yeah, like she did is so tremendous, but I think it's lost in a lot of youth. And I would agree with you, at least those three athletes between Pelé, Ali, and MJ. They transcend time.
Those are the three, though, that stand out. Like Tiger Woods, I'd say Tiger Woods at his height, pretty close to Jordan.
I don't even know, unfortunately.
But I wouldn't put him at the same level as Ali and, you know.
I don't know if even Gretzky's in the top 10.
No, I wouldn't say top 10.
No, I think he's more North American.
Top 50, I think.
Yeah. He's the most famous hockey player, there's no question. I just don't know if he's in the top. Like Kobe, LeBron, Shaq, even Iverson are probably ahead of him as all time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this is a great debate, I appreciate the back and forth, Mo. Even though we're both going to have our opinions on it, and I love your thinking on it, and it was good to have. Let's get back to the center of Ali, and let's get to what made us fall in love with him. And when I know you got a lot to say. So, Joel, you're going to probably have the least amount to say in this. And then I'll go, and then, Mo, I'm just going to let you take that
Doesn't
ball.
Doesn't he always, every time I'm on?
Yeah. So I'm just going to let Joel go first and say what got him into Muhammad Ali. Then I'm going to go, and then I'm going to give you that ball, Mo, and you just run it down to the end zone.
I'd like to have more of a conversation than go off on a monologue.
Joel, you go, then I'll go. And then if you have any points to that, Mo, then you can go.
Sure.
Okay, well, my 15 minutes of fame begins now, and then
it's
gone.
Five, hurry up.
My biggest thing with Ollie was my folks. That's what kind of got me in. They knew of Ollie being younger. They kind of showed me. And then thanks to stuff like YouTube, I can sit there and go and check him out. And he's just such a – I think the biggest thing for me was he was like a wrestling personality. He was just over the top. He was cranked up 10 volumes. He was loud. He was arrogant. He was abrasive. But he could back it up. And when he had to, he went out. And I still remember watching on YouTube the Frazier fight and going, holy crap. And just everything he did afterwards, listening to him speak when he got banned because of the draft, and just kind of diving into the Muhammad Ali rabbit hole. Was really the biggest thing for me was just kind of going through and seeing this guy and listening to him talk and how heavy his words were. They had impact. They had meaning. They were like his punches. They came at you and they caught your attention. They were like little slaps to the head and you're like, holy crap. And you always heard so many good stories about him from people of him taking the time to meet with different people and stand there and take pictures and just overall being a nice guy that's willing to take a little bit of his time to spend with someone that is a huge Muhammad Ali fan. He caused a traffic jam in Calgary just standing on a street corner. I think that to me is what really got me into Muhammad and just learning and growing. That legend of Muhammad Ali was so big, and you'd always hear him in just, like, I remember randomly reading through Bret Hart's book, and then Muhammad Ali's there, and he just pops up in little spots here and there, and you're like, oh, he was always that one constant that you'd always hear people talk about and they'd look up to, and that always made me interested to kind of see what was this guy, who is he, and learn more about him.
Yeah, I mean, he's always kind of just been a constant, right? For me, I had the ability when we were younger, we just have always been lucky enough to have ESPN in our house by whatever means that we had it. And one of the lucky things you have when you have ESPN is that you get ESPN Classic. So with that, they always have kind of – they always have the fights on all the time. They'd always have the Foreman fights. They'd have the Frazier fights. They'd have the Sonny Liston fight on. I must have seen the Sonny Liston fight and the Foreman fights and all those over and over and over again. And in between those fights as well, they transitioned to the promos that he would cut. And I think it's really the first taste I had of that kind of style. And I think one of the first times I got into, started watching WWE, I'd see people like Ric Flair and the NWA, and the way he talked, I'm like, oh man, he talks a lot like Muhammad Ali. Among other guys, and you start seeing like guys like Piper and Austin and Rock. I think a lot of their influence, Dusty Rhodes, a lot of their influence come from the way Muhammad Ali got. Now, of course, he got it from wrestlers in his own right, in Gorgeous George and a little bit Freddie Blassie, who ended up managing him. And you know, he did a lot of stuff with the WWEs. We saw, you know, with Inoki, and that Inoki thing was funny because that was supposed to be a straight-up job to Inoki, but Ali thought he would look really bad jobbing out to a wrestler, or he's like to say a wrestler. And he didn't do the job, and the match was really sloppy. But he still did it, and it was whatever. And even the thing he had against Gorilla Monsoon, he would do things for the right reason if they were necessary. And he took that hit, the famous helicopter spin that we always see with him and Gorilla Monsoon, and he really nothing happened out of it, and he put Gorilla over for no reason, really for no to get nothing back. Did the referee was supposed to be the referee, but the Parkinson's unfortunately took him over, and I think that's the saddest part about this ending is during my prime years and Joel's prime years, when we've seen Muhammad Ali in a current state, whether he's throwing a pitch out of a ball game or whatever it may be, he's just a shell of himself with the Parkinson's. You can still see Michael J. Fox somewhat as a functioning human being that can still act and do stuff. You know, the Parkinson's obviously affected Michael J. Fox, but not the way that it affected Ali. Ali was just a shell of himself. And I remember seeing him at a Marlins game throw out a pitch about 2 years ago or so, and it really broke my heart that this guy that was so flamboyant and like just ready to go was reduced to this. And lastly, before Mo goes, one of my favorite things with Ali was his back and forth with arguably my favorite broadcaster of all time in Howard Cosell. And the back and forth that the two of those had, I watch clips of those on YouTube so much. And I could watch Howard Cosell and Muhammad Ali trade jabs back and forth, because you just don't get stuff like that nowadays. The respect they had for each other was phenomenal. Obviously, the civil rights stuff we're going to talk about. But, yeah, those are just some of my favorites and highlights from Muhammad Ali. Mo?
I just wanted to jump in quickly. I think even when Ali and the Parkinson's was really taking hold and he couldn't speak as much, I still think he was able to and this speaks to him as a showman, was he was still able to speak through his eyes. Like, his eyes.
Good call. Great call, Joel.
You could see things, and you could just feel the power of the man just from the look. He couldn't speak anymore, but he still, like I said, he still could throw jabs, but visually. And you would see it, and you'd be like, that's still, he can't speak, and it's still sad to see what state he's in, but you can still feel the power of Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. Mo?
Well, his charisma never left him. That's for sure. No matter what the, what happened with his physical deterioration, his charisma never left him. He's simply the most. I don't think there's anybody outside of film or movies that is as charismatic as him. He's the most charismatic guy. That's, you know, and you talk about, like, it wasn't just Gorilla and Inoki. I mean, he did a lot of stuff with wrestling. You know, he had this crazy boxing match against a football player, Lyle Alzado, in 1979. Like, he did a lot of stuff that was for the entertainment aspect that, you know, that you wouldn't typically see. But, yeah, he was a very, his charisma is, when I think of Muhammad Ali, that's usually my first thought. And so even when he hit the Parkinson's, it was there, the charisma was still there too. And his mind, you know, his body wouldn't react as quick. His mind was still pretty quick for quite a while. You know, but physically he would do little things like, you know, magic tricks and that type of thing.
just, you know, that you wouldn't expect just to.
Yeah, Lex Luthor had talked about the magic tricks that he would do.
Yeah, yeah, just the little things that he would do just to kind of, you know, just to, he was the showman. He was a natural showman and charismatic, charisma, you know, just beyond belief.
I mean, I think, you know,
I think the I gotta biggest... ask Joel, actually, yeah, I gotta ask Joel. What, because I assume, Josh, that you've seen all of you mentioned a lot of his fights.
The big ones, for sure.
Yeah, Joel, you mentioned you watched the Frazier fight. Which one did you see?
I saw the one where Ali had won.
Okay, well, there was three of them, and he won two of them, so...
I believe it was the last one. See, and that was the one thing where...
You've definitely probably seen... It was Rumble of the Jungle. That one gets played the most.
Yeah, that one. And I have seen the George Foreman as well. I've seen both of those, so...
Okay.
It's not as much, but it's still... I've seen him box.
Yeah. Yeah. And even when you're seeing him... if you're seeing him against that... In that Frazier fight. That Frazier fight is the closest to death that any two men have legally ever put up to each other on film, just be captured. Like, the closest to, like, it's unbelievable from that perspective. But if those are the ones you've seen, in many ways, you haven't even seen him at his best.
Yeah.
Because he was, when he was young, he was incredibly athletic for his size. And, you know, he's 215 pounds, which was a heavyweight then. You know, that'd be pretty small for a heavyweight now in boxing or you know, most other combat sports. But, like, he moved like a lightweight. That was obviously the thing about him when he was younger. And when he lost the belt, he was 24. He came back at 28, and a lot of people feel he left his prime. And he didn't come back quite the same athleticism. But most fighters at about 28, that's when they're hitting their prime.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a strange, you know, most sports, that's kind of when you're hitting your prime, is about age 28. But, yeah, it really would have been interesting to see. Like I said, I don't think he's the best heavyweight of all time.
Who do you think that is, Tyson?
No. Oh, God, no. Uh-oh. Not even close. I'm not sure Tyson would make my top 10.
Really? Who do you think number one is for you then?
Well, I think you have to go with Joe Louis, Bronx Bomber.
Okay. You know,
20 straight title defenses. I mean, after that, Ali is my number two. But, I mean, Jack Johnson was incredible.
Rocky.
Rocky, I know, you know.
Yeah.
49-0. You know, he was amazing. Yeah. I mean, so there's a lot of, you know.
Would you put, just a quick question here. I don't want to get too much into
the tangent. Was incredible.
Would you put Holyfield over Tyson all time for you? I think I'm gonna overhype what Tyson is, probably, so I'm not gonna get to this, but I probably have Tyson in my top five, and I don't want to get to that, but yeah, that's just the one I want to know. If you think he was better than Holyfield.
Tyson never faced good competition, is the thing, right?
That's like, fair, Tyson, and that's very Tyson, fair.
He was a killer. He had great head movement and a lot of power and, you know, and great hand speed. And, like, his head movement was his defense. That was really like a phenomenal head movement for a heavyweight. But he was sloppy in a lot of ways too. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I think of, like I say, I mean, Lennox Lewis always would have beat him. Like, you know, like
I can agree with that. Lewis was terrific. I would have liked to see how good Tyson could have done had it not have been for going to jail, because I thought at that point, besides getting caught off guard by Buster Douglas, he got a little cocky, and you know that happens to every fighter, right? Every fighter has except for Mayweather. Mayweather's the only one that hasn't happened to.
Yeah, he got he absolutely and Marciano.
Yeah,
and even Marciano, actually, tell you the truth, got caught, you know, late in his career.
Oh yeah,
and it was kind of a controversial victory that he ended up with. But that guy was a fighter. Like, talk about a boring fighter. But, I mean, the thing about Tyson is that, yeah, I mean, Tyson's a whole other podcast, obviously. But I wouldn't have him in my top five because, like, even like a Liston I would have ahead of him. You have to understand, Liston, I mean, if you only saw him against Ali, you have to understand, even then, he was a killer. Like, his arms his arms were like 84 inches. Like,
well, I was listening to some of the interviews they were doing with Ali up to this fight, and everyone thought Ali was losing this because Liston was the guy. Like, he was the guy, and everyone's like, you're not going to – like, people were telling Muhammad Ali, you're losing this match.
Muhammad Ali was scared going into that match. That was the only match I believe he was ever scared of. He was scared. That was why he was so. He was building himself up to he was trying to hide his fear and get in Liston's head, and he did get in Liston's head. Liston thought he was just a crazy kid.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was scared of him, and you have to, again, and the second fight, I mean, there's a lot of controversy, you know, obviously the Phantom Punch about whether or not Liston threw the fight, because of that time the Nation of Islam had apparently contacted him and made threats, and a lot of people feel he did throw the fight, and we never saw him. But again, you have to understand, Liston didn't know how old he was, and like, I mean, literally, he had no idea how, like, people would ask him, he was heavyweight champion, he was 34, like, he would say he was 34. And records they could find, some showed he was 37, some showed he was 38 or 39.
Is this Liston or Ali?
This is Liston.
Okay.
Liston. Some of his records were showing, some people believe he was in his early 40s when he was the champion, and he didn't start boxing until he was in prison. Like this guy was a freak. Like, incredibly long arms, you know, for a guy only 6 feet tall, like a reach that like the size of a Lennox Lewis's reach, you know, much shorter. Like, this guy, and hit, like his jab was frightening. So this guy was, you know, which is what made Ali's victory so incredibly stunning. You know, when he said he shocked the world, he really did.
Yeah. Well, I find it so interesting watching back some of these interviews and just the reporters just saying, like, you're going to lose this fight. Like, you're not good enough to beat him. I thought that kind of stuff drove Ali, and that's really what you see from the best athletes, whenever it may be, whether it be a Pele, a Ronaldo, a Jordan, a Kobe. It's the best athletes, when they're told they can't, they do.
The thing about the thing was, he was afraid. There's no doubt about it. He was afraid because he was facing a killer. Mm-hmm. But the difference between Ali and all these other guys, the face listed, and this is what you saw with Tyson. And this was what was so impressive about Tyson was, when he came to the ring, Tyson came and he wasn't, you know, he just, you know, a little, you know, towel over his head. Like, people, like, you could see it. Like, people were beat when they got in the ring, before he even stepped in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, they saw him coming down there, and he just looked like he would, like, if he killed you, he wouldn't care. The only thing that would piss him off if he killed you was that he would have to take it would cost him an extra half a second to step over your body.
Yeah.
He's scared. And same with Liston, who legitimately was working for the mob and did all sorts of things, breaking fingers, and was like a really rough guy, right? And same thing, he beat people before he got. Ali was afraid, but Ali wasn't beat before he got in there. That was it. He stood up to the bully, and that's what caused Liston to be shocked. That's why he managed to get that first victory over him, because Liston wasn't used to anybody standing up to him.
Now. You know, we talk about the thing I love about Ali and this Jordan and Pele and all this stuff. Is that the most famous sporting image of all time as well?
The Phantom Punch, him standing over him yelling, "Get up!"
I think it's that or Jordan from the free throw line. I think it's probably Ali, but those are the two you see a lot as far as iconic sport photos. There's other ones I'm sure I'm thinking of, but as far as
there's a photo from the Miracle on Ice that's very, very famous.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of other ones. I think
Bobby Orr.
Yeah, the Bobby Orr one's famous because he's flying through the air.
Yeah.
Of course, we live in Canada, so it may be a little skewed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying not to, because I know hockey's really just North American-wide, and I guess in, like, some Scandinavian and Russia and stuff, but it's not super global like other sports. I think there's a picture of Teddy Williams hitting a homer, I believe, that's pretty famous. Or the Willie Mays catch. That's probably going to be up there, right?
I think that's got that as a video is up there because it was an athletic beat, like an amazing athletic beat. But as far as a photo,
okay, I got a baseball one for you, Babe with the cigar and the crown.
That's pretty famous.
Yeah,
that is. That's up there.
Yeah,
that's up there for sure, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I think that you know, Cassius Clay standing over at the time. I guess he had become Muhammad Ali at that point, mm-hmm. actually, for the second fight. Yeah, that. I always liked him as the Louisville Lip. That's like my favorite nickname ever.
And but he yeah, gave so much.
Crazy.
Now, who converted to Islam first? Was it him or was it there. Kareem? It was him, right? Sorry, I was saying who converted to Islam first? I believe it was him and then Kareem.
Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yeah. Yeah, I think he was. I think Ali. I believe Ali was first. I believe right. he was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ali really paid for, because he was like a people's champion in many people's like eyes, right? Like, people loved him, and I think a lot of people felt like he kind of betrayed him by jumping to that at the time, and he really had to. I think that's where he really became.
Like, even from the beginning, when you say people loved him, when he was that, braggadocious, I guess is the word, he wasn't loved, because he was doing, you have to remember, he was doing, Gorgeous George. Like, he, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he did realize that the villain was the one who got the heat. And, you know, he was doing the rhyming things, and the rhyming thing, that was taken from Sugar Ray Robinson. You know, he idolized Sugar Ray Robinson, who probably is the greatest pound for pound fighter of all time. And he absolutely
hard
idolized.
Hard to debate, yeah.
Him. Yeah, yeah, arguably, yeah. They saw the way he dressed, he tried to dress like him, he was doing the rhyming. A lot of the rhymes weren't written by Ali. He had a member of his entourage who came up with a lot of that stuff for him. But it's okay. It's all part of the act. And he's, at the end, he's the guy with the charisma who pulls it off, right?
It's such an interesting time as far as athletes go, because, you know, you have a tail end, more or less the end of Jackie Robinson around that time, right? You have Jim Brown.
You know what? Now that you said Jackie Robinson, yeah, when you talk about influence. Oh,
yeah.
That's mm-hmm. the other guy. Him and Jesse Owens on Ali. Now you threw a third name in there that I think I feel foolish forgetting.
Yeah, I just realized. And I mean, I want to get into that, because Ali is such a big part of segregation and everything is what he did too. And
well,
I mean, I go in the aspect of that of, I think a part that made Ali hated so much was, there's this black man that's the champion and he's running his mouth.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
The one thing, and this is something I always wanted to dive more in, was him winning the gold medal and winning it for the U.S.
And then, throwing it in the ocean?
Yeah, and then him coming back and just how he was treated. Most times when you win a gold medal for your country, especially something like the United States, you're revered as a hero. But he comes back and he's still like, oh, I don't care. You're a black man that has won it in those days. And it just, I can't imagine, you work so hard to win something, and then you have something like that happen to you that has you take the thing that you work so hard for and throw it away. That's got to speak volumes for that time period and what Ali was up against in a lot of ways, because racism was very prevalent during that time. And absolutely. I can't imagine being Muhammad Ali in that day and age where you have to deal with that constantly. The one thing I'd said was, I'm shocked no one attempted to kill Muhammad Ali just in that time.
I'm sure they did. I mean, you look at some of the stuff with Kareem, and when he converted to Islam, teammates didn't want to talk to him, and he became isolated from a lot of teammates for doing something that he believed in. And
It's a little different, though. Ali was very, very much always surrounded by members of the Nation of Islam. So, I mean, he was protected in that way. It was like having bodyguards. And, I mean, the thing is, when he converted, I mean, he said what he was told to say. And he was a good soldier in the Nation of Islam. Like, he did what he was told to say. He said what he was told to say. He wore what he was supposed to. He married who he was supposed to marry. He did all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I
guess the difference with him and Kareem is a team sport, right? He's a team sport too.
It's a team sport, and he was a great basketball player, but nobody knew how great he would be, you know.
Go into a rant about Kareem. I mean, Kareem should be on most people's top five list, but people don't even put him into the top eight.
Amazing. No, he was remarkable. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing about him is that nobody knew what he would be. They knew when they got Ali, because the Nation of Islam is actually a very small group.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big group at all. It represents a very small portion of the United States. And so when they got him, they saw that as this was a big deal, you know,
yeah.
for their visibility. So I mean that's the difference, right? He was their poster child.
Absolutely. And why wouldn't he be? And I think Ginny and Kareem was just a nice cherry on top of the sundae for them.
Basically, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. And I mean, he always stuck to his faith, and I always admired that. And you hear the one thing everyone has talked about with Ali is that he was about peace and wanted people to come together. And I mean, he was one of the first people to come out and kind of defend Islam after 9/11. And that was one of the first times, kind of with after everything he had fought for, that some people still attacked him. I think that was the last time that he ever really got any heat, was when he kind of, not defending the attacks on 9/11, but defending what Islam is and what it means, and that they couldn't possibly be behind such a terrorist act and whatnot. And I thought, I admired him at that time for standing up for what he believed in.
Well, it was quite a violent group when he first got in there, but it was a violent time.
Yeah,
especially in the race relations were in such a weird place. It was a violent group. I don't think he really, I don't think he was ever really fully comfortable with that, though. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, I think it was hidden from him. Because again, I don't see when you talk about Muhammad Ali, the man, his importance because of the fact that he was brought in as the poster child and was the good soldier. And like you talk about the segregation and his refusal to go to go into the army and be drafted and serve, and because that wasn't his decision, that wasn't him wanting to do that. That was because that's what he was told to do.
He got a lot of heat for that too,
and he did. He's the one who got a lot of heat for it. But that's what he didn't. That wasn't his idea, but he did it because that's what he was told to do and told to say because they were trying to make a statement about their religion and using him to do it and about the situation. And so it's built up like it was his idea and how brave he was. But in some ways, it would have been almost braver to not do it because he had so much pressure. And a lot of these people were in his lives now and had such influence over him that he really didn't have a choice but to do what he did. And that's the interesting thing. Not to say that he wasn't brave still doing what he did, and it obviously cost him greatly. But it's not as simple and cut and dried as Muhammad Ali believed this, and this is why he didn't really know why he was doing a lot of these things. He you have to understand, he came from a middle class background, but he wasn't highly educated, and Muhammad Ali was somewhat immature, even at this era. People would describe him as being like the high school jock who could kind of be like, was kind of cool and everybody liked him and he could bully you, but he wasn't mean spirited in doing it. But not comp, like he didn't have to learn his math because he was this high school jock that people, they would kind of let him slide. And because he was such a good athlete, like that's kind of how people would describe him right up through most of his career there. And even in this era, so he's kind of I don't want to say puppet, that's not the right word, but he absolutely was drawn along into something that was bigger than him. But again, that doesn't mean it isn't historically significant. It's just that the image of him as how he was and his decisions here is not really the truth, but that's become the truth because because of the icon worship and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But in many ways, to me, it's more like this is like, remember when China passed away, I said, I don't think you, by just doing hero worship, I don't think you do serve anybody in there any favors. Mm-hmm. It's like Martin Luther King, was cheated on his wife. Does that mean he's not a great man? No, he's a great man. Mm-hmm. It means that what it means is that even though we all have flaws and none of us are perfect, we still can't use our flaws to not try and achieve greatness. Totally. If somebody else who is imperfect can achieve greatness, so can we, because we're imperfect. And that's why, to me, it doesn't make any sense to ignore kind of the full story about people like this. And Muhammad Ali himself cheated on all his wives and was married multiple times and that type of thing. He's not a perfect person. It's not the way it's
portrayed generally in the media, and people want to play as, but people want to build somebody up and then break them down and then build them back up again, and that's where he is now. Yeah. But to me, like, it's more interesting to know that somebody that you can achieve more, because somebody else who's got just as many flaws as you, just as human, has done so. And so, anyways, there's my rant of the night. Sorry, guys, I got all political on that one or whatever.
That's okay. I mean,
I hope you didn't bore the hell out of your listeners. Joel hasn't talked to him forever. He's probably asleep over there. I'm sorry.
I like that you use the word icon, because it's something that Joel and I had talked about. As far as icon goes, who's left living as current icons, I think you could have put Prince in that territory and possibly Bowie. Not at the level of Ali. I think Ali supersedes both of them as an overall human being ever. As far as who would you say, as far as iconic people that are around right now, are at that level? And I can only think of a handful of them. I think of Jordan. I think of McCartney and possibly Madonna.
Madonna and McCartney have to be up there, and Jordan. I think you have to see Obama.
Yeah, I mean, any president obviously is on there. I mean,
and Clinton too. Yeah, probably.
I mean, no. We're probably gonna have to put Bush on there, because I don't know. He's an iconic president during a horrific time in the history of the United States and the world.
Yeah. But yeah, we think about it. I don't think there's anybody in
acting. There's no real acting people I can really think of. Like, you know, there's Tom Hanks. And, like, Leo and Brad Pitt, I just don't see them at a level that, like, a Paul McCartney's at, for example.
No. Leo might be someday.
Maybe just from... Cause when
Woody you, Allen?
No.
I was going to say Spielberg.
George Lucas?
George Lucas ruined that. Yeah. Maybe Spielberg, though. I would agree with Joel. Maybe Spielberg.
Because, I mean, he inspired a lot of filmmakers, and a lot of – when he was making movies, he inspired a lot of kids to become filmmakers, and now they're doing stuff.
Yeah.
I think he played a big role.
I can give, what about Harrison Ford?
Nah.
It's close.
Just say Stan Lee, certainly.
Stan Lee, yep. Yep, I'll give you that one. He's not at the level of, like, McCartney. But you know what? In a way, he is, though, for what he means, because there is no – this Marvel Universe. There's no Spider-Man. There's no Fantastic Four. Go on and go on. If there's no Stan Lee, that's a very good one, Bo.
Yeah, he's definitely the pop culture influence of the characters he's created. But again, it's like the pop culture, they're more famous than him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. But,
and by the way, if you want to talk about comics, there was a comic, Joe may not know this, you'll know this, where Muhammad Ali fought Superman.
Yeah, I know that.
Who won that fight? I always wanted to know.
You know, I think it was a draw, if I remember correctly. I mean, I have read it years ago. A friend of mine had it. I think what it was was Superman had his powers taken away, so it would be an even fight.
Right.
And then
Ali would have won, because Superman can't fight.
Yeah, you would think, but I think it was because Superman, if I remember correctly, had Kryptonian fighting techniques. This was like, you know, the 70s. It was pretty right. cheesy.
Yeah.
So that's how it ended up. If I remember correctly, it ended up being a draw.
See, that to me, like, and that's one thing. I think Muhammad Ali is kind of in that, not quite because he's a real person, but it's almost like in a lot of people's heads, Muhammad Ali is like a comic book character or a character from a story.
He's a human being that I look at a godlike level.
Yeah.
To be honest, he is like a Cleopatra, a Gandhi, an Elvis. Kind of supersede human being for the rest of time type of person that we've had.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. He is that person that it's like that a little bit of a shining star that you can look at and go, if I work hard, and you see his quotes and you're like, if I can work hard, I could end up being something like that.
Yeah.
And the reason why he is in many ways is because of the stages of his career, because he was the young brash guy who then stood up for something that a lot of people disagreed with him for standing up for, but history has proven that what he stood up for was correct. His idea or not, it was the correct move. And then he came back and had some of the most incredible fights in the history of the sport. You know, probably he might have had two or three of the most incredible fights in the history of the sport. You know, and then he went on to, and then he became kind of the guy who passed his prime, who you felt sorry for, and then he kind of got elevated to that icon status and became, and his legend grew past his actual, in many ways, his legend grew past his accomplishments. But that's not a bad thing necessarily. It happened organically.
Yeah. And I mean, even when he was diagnosed with Parkinson and you started to see the deterioration, I think that almost elevated him even more.
Well, because he became such a spokesperson for that disease with Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. Not only that, but I mean, you see the image of him lighting the torch and you see his hand shaking and you're going like, wait a minute, but this guy that had the fastest hands in the world is sitting there shaking while he's holding the Olympic flag, and it's surreal, and I think it almost helps elevate him more, because then you see this guy struggling, like at not a low point, but lower than what he
He would have been 54. He would have been 54, but yeah, I mean, somehow him doing that, some people saw it as sad. I saw it as just brave.
It's one of those sports and just overall images that we always see as people. And whenever they do the Olympic Games, they always show. Sometimes they end with Ali lighting that flame in Atlanta. How big that was for them, and overall,
It's huge. And again, now people will. It's like, again, because the icon worship. It's like people now kind of acknowledge that he treated Joe Frazier incredibly poorly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's forgiven because he's Ali and all this. And again, it's that he's not a perfect person. Like when he would face somebody and he felt that there was one guy who he would face. I can't remember his name. But this guy kept calling him Cassius Clay during the press conferences leading up to the fight.
Yeah. Asshole news reporter did this past week.
Well, yeah, that's an asshole. This was because this guy had known him since he was 15, and he was Cassius. He'd only been a Muhammad Ali for 6 months, and he kept forgetting.
Yeah.
This guy had known him for 10 years, you know, or whatever it was. You know, or 7 years, I think it's something like that at the time. He'd known him for a long time, and he just kept forgetting. So when Clay got in, or when Ali got in there, he could have put him out in a couple rounds. Instead, he pounded on him, and he wouldn't knock him out. To the point where he really, really hurt the guy and embarrassed him and continued to hurt him, yelling at him the whole time, "What's my name? What's my name?" Like an asshole move.
Yeah.
You know, again, not – he had a mean streak at times.
Every athlete has kind of had that, though. I mean, even you look at stuff with MJ, right? Like he missed a whole season not to play baseball, but because he gambled, and it probably led to the death of his father because he owed gambling debts and they probably took a hit on his father.
Yeah,
but you know most people forgive that, and the flu game he was hungover. But people look at other things the other way and try to flip things, right? And they always will. And like you said, it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't know what happened in that hotel room in Colorado with Kobe. And some people, when he retired, they just wanted to point that out, and others just like, just screw that. I just want to focus on the good of what this guy did. And it's the same with Ali, you know, like you said, like he left his wives and he did this and did that. But there's so much more positive and good and inspirational stuff with him that you want to focus on. It supersedes
all the bad voodoo. It's inspirational, but it's also significant. It's also it's significant stuff. But to me, the bad is significant too.
It'll be the same way with Tyson passes, right?
Well, Tyson's a whole other thing. Tyson, at least in many ways, is a success story because there's no question he has turned his life around.
Yeah, he and he's admitted his faults.
He should have been. Well, he's never admitted he raped that woman. So I mean, you know, but he has. There's no question though he should be dead. Mm-hmm. Like he was on a path to be dead by now, and he's a success story in life that we all can turn ourselves around. You know.
Yeah.
And come to a better place. And Ali, like I say. I mean, the stuff with Frazier, like, I think Frazier's absolutely one of my top five. Like,
for sure.
You know, when I look at a fighter who's small like he was and who is blind in his left eye, but nobody knew it, not even his trainer, but he was blind in his left eye, you know, who goes on to become the heavyweight champion against bigger men, I'm like, that guy's a great fighter.
You know what's kind of crazy about Smoking Joe is I always thought he was the villain when I was younger because you hear about Muhammad Ali and he's the guy, right? Because he's just the guy. But then when you go back.
Hero worship.
Yeah, there's a hero worship and it's like you don't know the other side of the story because you're so young, right? But then you go back in time and you flip things and like, oh, now I know the whole story of things. And it changes I've watched that the fights again with different colored glasses, there's a whole other view of it.
Well, Frazier helped him. When Ali was not licensed, he gave him money. And don't get me wrong, not like Ali didn't pay these things forward too. I mean, Ali would have guys show up at his home, who wanted to be a fighter. They'd be like 19 years old, not have a trainer, be like, can you help me find a trainer? And, Ali would bring them into his house and give them a sandwich and a pop and a name that they could go on and then send them on their way. But, I'm not saying he didn't pay things forward, but Ali gave him, or Frazier gave him money and Frazier helped get him his license back. And then Ali turned on him and Ali did it because it was an interesting time, especially that first fight, Ali represented the young generation, the hippie generation, the people against the war.
Against the man.
Frazier, the people cheering for Frazier were white guys in their 50s. And, and that's really messed up when you think about it, because Frazier came from a far more economically horrific background and faced even greater racism in his early life, literally working on a cotton plantation, and getting no education at all. I mean, Ali wasn't highly educated, but Frazier had nothing. Because of the civil rights movement, because of the generations, Ali galvanized a certain generation and then the other generation hated him and they just picked whoever was fighting him. That happened to be Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, man, those fights, that first fight's a great fight, and there's no question Frazier won. The second fight, Ali kept tying his arms up and should have been disqualified or had points taken away. The referee didn't let him, and because of that, he dominated. But it was a shame. By the third fight, the Rumble in the Jungle, Frazier had been killed by Foreman, and Ali took that fight thinking it was a joke and an easy paycheck. And he went in there, and in the third round, when Ali's getting his ass kicked, he says, they told me you were done, Joe. And Joe Frazier said in his ear, they lied. And they went on to have the most horrific 110-degree weather, early morning fight that literally, it shattered those guys' souls. And neither one of them ever was the same.
I think Joe said that before he passed, didn't he? Yeah.
So again, it's all a fascinating story though. Like it's so incredible. That's part of it is all of these. There's so many layers of drama. No movie's this good as Ali and Frazier's life or their.
No, Will Smith tried. It wasn't very good.
That book with Will, he gave a really good performance, and the movie still was boring and sucked.
Yeah,
I would recommend a book by Mark Crom called. Called Ghosts of Manila. Highly recommend it for a really good look at the Ali and Frazier trilogy.
Is that really... I don't know if it's the greatest sports rivalry, but it's definitely a top five all time.
Yeah, it's up there.
Yeah.
Connors McEnroe. Red Sox Magic. Yankees.
Bird Magic
for sure. Yeah, Red Sox, Yankees, just in general.
I mean, I look at two of those feuds with Bird Magic and Frazier and Ali, and Frazier Ali changed the way that boxing was perceived at that time, and it just brought so much eyes on the boxing and changed the ratings are much like Magic and Bird did for basketball, where it added people watching the game of basketball that never watched it before because of these two guys. The rivalry always makes everything
they saved basketball.
They did.
Like those two, like don't get me wrong. Yeah, I mean, basketball, the NBA was not big at all. Like Dr. J was pretty big because he was so spectacular, and he had the fans. But what that rivalry brought that
That league was really struggling until that rivalry, and then it
Dr. J kept it on life support. Dr. J kept the NBA on life support. Magic and Bird
revitalized it.
Thank you. And then Jordan just took it to another level. Exactly. And then we were off. Yeah.
They never looked back.
And I think boxing kind of had the same way where, you know, we had the guys in the early days. You know, we talked about Sugar Ray and Rocky, and then a Liam Frazier came along, Sonny Liston, killing it. And then we had Foreman and Larry Holmes and Tyson, and then it kind of and then Holyfield and Lewis, and then it kind of died.
Yeah. Well, boxing's in a sad state now.
As far as heavyweight goes, I mean, lightweights, you know,
there is, but
Roy and Felix and all the Oscar. Oscar and Pacquiao and Floyd. I mean, those are two guys too. You know, the two greatest champions we've had in the past 20 years, Pacquiao and Mayweather. Lord knows they have skeletons.
Absolutely, no
especially
question.
Especially Pacquiao.
About
that.
Maybe just a little
especially
bit.
Especially about, Pardon me?
Maybe just a little bit of skeletons.
That's a lot. I don't even know if you would say especially Pacquiao. They both do. They're both.
100%. There's definitely. And it's interesting because you talk about everything, the behind the scenes of the Ollie Frazier. Would Ollie be so at a godlike status as he is today if there was social media and there was the internet around back in that day?
I think it adds to it, don't you think, Mo?
I think so. It's really difficult to say because, like, the thing is, you have to understand that, like, Ali was seen as a soft champion, even though he was great. But, I mean, he beat Liston, and then he didn't really face really good guys. And then Frazier, the whole time, Frazier was seen as the guy who was the undeserving champion because he had never beaten Ali. But Ali lost that first fight. And like I say, there's no question. He lost that first fight. But because he lost it and he finally lost a war, a great fight, it was the first great fight of his career, he finally got respect through losing. He got over through losing because he had this great fight and people saw that he actually had a warrior spirit. So it's really hard to say how like a social media would take that. Like I don't know that it would be any different because kind of, you know, like was he a dick? Yeah, but Conor McGregor's being a dick too to his opponents and people love him.
I mean, I think any great combat athlete has been a dick. Any great athlete has been a dick, right?
GSP, I don't think was, but
no, I mean, I think the majority of them are. Jeter, maybe not, but
yeah. No, for the most, yeah, I don't know if he would be bigger or smaller. I don't know how would that.
I think he. I mean, you never know. He'd probably lose a fight and have a crying Jordan meme face on him. You never know.
He lost that first fight and he convinced people he won it. And again, Frazier went into that first fight he was having panic attacks and that type of thing. He wasn't healthy. So he went to the hospital afterwards, and he was in the hospital, and he almost went into a coma. He almost died. Like, Frazier, after that first fight, where he unquestionably won the fight. And yet, because he was in the hospital, and some of it was because of Ali, and a lot of it was because of other medical conditions, overtraining, and all sorts of different things, Ali was able to convince people that he won. And so with social media, he probably could have done that much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What, as we kind of end this off, what was your favorite Ali quote?
Oh, God.
I know. It's hard. You can feel free to Google if you need to.
No, I'm just thinking. He had a lot of great quotes, and the thing was, as he got older and he got perspective, I think he got wiser in the things he said. Mm-hmm. Because it started to become more him saying it. You know, so I don't know though.
One of my favorites. I had pulled up a few of these, but one of mine was just kind of everything when he was in the punt rhyme and he was cocky and he was feeling himself, and it was, I'm the greatest, I'm a bad man, and I'm pretty.
Yeah.
And that kind of says everything about him right there. Yeah.
I think I shocked the world. To me, that is because that was just so spontaneous.
Yeah.
You know?
It's in the, it's right in the moment of things, right?
Yeah.
Right. All right. You know, there's so much more we can talk about individual fights and everything, and
I talk about the victory over Foreman and how incredible that was. Yeah, the rope-a-dope, which was, again, something else he took from Sugar Ray Robinson. Sugar Ray Robinson used that technique regularly and called it the turtle shell.
Yeah.
And then he took it and used it his form and called it the rope-a-dope, which was just such a classic name.
you know? I wanted to ask you about your thoughts with him and Howard Cosell's relationship.
Well, I mean, Howard Cosell had an ego. Muhammad Ali had an ego. And Howard Cosell had an ego much, much bigger.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Howard Cosell, like, I don't listen to him and think, what a great announcer. Because he's getting himself over the athletes a lot of the time. But I look at him and go, what a great personality. And more than ever, this day and age, where it seems like the talking heads on TV have no personality.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so refreshing, and him and Ali, it was a contentious relationship that became a true friendship.
Yeah,
and grew mutual respect later on. And you know, it's another part of the story that you wouldn't have thought this old white guy and this young brash black guy would become, you know, would develop this relationship. But that kind of spoke to both men. Yeah,
I don't think you can talk about one without talking about the other.
Oh, absolutely.
It's such a big deal, and just the way they could joke with each other. And that's the thing, too. I was at a wedding party most of a Friday night, but I strolled home back to the place I was at, and luckily I brought my Apple TV that has ESPN on it. And ESPN was running stuff and had Bob Lee, and I can't remember the other broadcaster, unfortunately. But they were talking about Muhammad Ali on there, bringing Stephen A. Smith in, Michael Wilbon, Tony Kornheiser, whoever. And just talking about Muhammad Ali until 5 in the morning. And just hearing the different stories about the gold medal that was thrown in the Ohio River and what he meant to Stephen A. Smith, what he meant to Michael Wilbon. It really, especially what Michael Wilbon said, just as Michael Wilbon grew and came to the Washington Post and same with Stephen A. Smith, everything he went through with Philly to New York to where he is now, whether you like Stephen A. Smith or not, it was awesome to see these journalists and just other people too just say their thoughts in it. And one of the things that I just thought was incredible, you know, you talk about social media. I went on my Instagram and I could not slide down without it. It took about 2 to 3 minutes to slide down my Instagram without one single person, one after the other, just Muhammad Ali pictures posted to people's Instagram.
I mean, as big as as far as a death, I mean, you know, it's bigger than Bowie and Prince, biggest since Michael Jackson, I think.
Yeah.
As far as a death, and
you'll remember where you are. You remember the date.
Yeah, and to me, in many ways, when I look at the most significant thing is you talk about the inspiration, and that's why I don't mind. Like I say, the hero worship doesn't do full justice, just because I think people have to understand that everybody has flaws and can still overcome and do great things.
Mm-hmm.
But make no doubt about it, the hero worship, that it creates this mythical figure. And that mythical, because of that mythical figure, he has inspired a lot of people. And to me, in many ways, that's the most significant, his most significant contribution to me is that he has inspired people of every race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, white, black, Asian, you know, it doesn't matter. Like every race, he inspired people, and he didn't just his inspiration just didn't inspire them to be a boxer. It just inspired them to follow their dreams and to do their thing in anything that they loved. And to me, you know, that a guy who is, you know, you look at a guy who's a stuntman. I know there was a stuntman I was watching on a DVD and a special, you know, a Blu-ray, a special feature, and he was talking. He became a stuntman because of Muhammad Ali. It's like it doesn't seem, but it is. It's important. That to me is the most important thing he gave us.
For me, the
ability to inspire.
For me, as far as inspirational athletes, I've always looked at Ali, Jim Brown, Walter Payton, as just some of Kareem, just as some of the more inspirational Jackie athletes. Jackie Robinson, yeah, for sure.
Jim Thorpe should be
up. Even some people won't agree with me on this one, but Magic, for everything, playing in that All-Star game, I don't know if it's as much him for the inspiration of playing with HIV, but playing with that HIV in that All-Star game and the Olympics, and his friends and his colleagues coming around him and not being scared to play with him, I thought was a big step forward as far as the progression of dealing with HIV. And I think that was a moment in the All-Star game that Magic got to have. So I put him in that category as well. But yeah, Jesse Owens, Jackie Robinson, and these guys are just such pioneers as far as civil rights go, human rights go. And Ali may be, I can't say he's greater than Jackie Robinson as far as civil human rights go in sports, because Jackie's...
But it's more worldwide.
It's more worldwide.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was already black fighters at the time when Jackie was fighting, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, there was. I mean, Jack Johnson, really, if you're looking, if you want to look at the... You know, like 1908, Jack Johnson is marrying a white woman and being arrested for crossing borders as a champion, and having to go overseas and finish his career. And you know, as just a dominant world champion who they tried to beat with as many great white men as they could and white fighters. And when they couldn't, then they took the belt off him in that way. Like, so, I mean, it's. Well, unfortunately, the history of racism in sports is long and...
We as three white men don't look good.
No, nope. Well, I'm so white I glow, so I especially...
I'm from the UK, so I may have you topped. I don't know.
I don't know, I'm Danish, I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah, you have me topped. You may have the top. There's one people that have the Brits topped is the Dutch.
And you got Joel over there. He looks like Will Ospreay. Yeah. So
I'll
take that as a compliment.
Yeah, no, like, but you know, you weigh a little more than Osprey, but other than that, yeah.
All right. Well, I think this is a really good pod. I love the debate there. Leave a comment at We Talk Podcast, Fresh Take 42, or SickBoyYYC. Who do you think was the most famous athlete of all time? What was your favorite fight from Ali, moment from Ali, quote from Ali? Let us know. And if you have any more questions about Ali that you want any three of us to answer, let us know. Joel, final thoughts? Because as always, you get about 5% of the conversation.
Yeah, that's an important 5%. I think the biggest thing with Muhammad Ali is, I think Mo said it best, that someone with flaws can rise to being to a point where the whole world basically stopped. Everyone took a moment to go, oh, Muhammad Ali passed away. There's no one at my work. Everyone had an opinion on Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali created conversation, and that to me shows that he had an impact, and he did create conversations on the draft, on Nation of Islam, on just fighting, boxing, being a decent human being. What do you do with your life? Do you go after your dreams? Dealing with racism, all those things. He created a conversation on so many things. And I think that is his biggest thing, is the guy that loved to talk created a big conversation.
Yeah. Until next time, cheers. And enjoy the day, people.